Last week, if you were with us, or to catch you up, if you weren't, last week was an encouragement to be overwhelmed by the love of Christ in this new year. We just sang how wonderful is our Savior's love for us. And then the next step is to let that love, the love of Christ, overflow in us and out of us towards other people. To think if this year we could be overwhelmed by the love of Christ and then let that love overflow to others. What a blessing that would be, and a blessing that we would be to others. Amen. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to look at how Jesus loved people and to see some of those principles that we ourselves can put into practice as we are conformed to the image of Christ, to become like Him, to love like Him. And so we're going to do a little activity this morning, just silently. And so I want you to start this morning, and I want to have you picture a person in your mind. Do not say this out loud. Picture this person in your mind. Keep it to yourself, whom you find difficult to love. Get yourself in your mind that person that you found difficult to love. Maybe it's a recent thing you can think of. Maybe it's been an ongoing thing, but my guess is that it's probably not difficult to come up with someone. Within the first few seconds that I said that, you probably had a person pop into your mind. Now, maybe that was a family member who you recently encountered during the holidays, but tried to avoid them the rest of the year. But because it's family time, you have to, you know, bear with them, right? Or maybe there's a neighbor that you live by, or at work or school, or any other place that you socialize, that you come across this person that you just find difficult to love. Now, I know that we're in church right now, but perhaps even that person that you're thinking of is sitting in this room right now. Don't look around. Don't do any of that. But I also want to be fair as well, because on the other side of that coin is that perhaps you are the someone else that someone is thinking about. We all have that potential to be difficult to love. All right, so you have that person in your mind. Now, keeping that image in your mind, I want you to consider how Jesus loves that person. The love that Jesus has for him or for her. And then to think about how Jesus would display that love for that person. How would Jesus love them? What would that look like? And then to ask ourselves this question, where does our difficulty to love that person fall short of Jesus' ability to love that person? Where does our patience run short where Jesus' patience continues? What internal judgments have we made about that person or their circumstances without having all the information? Right? We're usually pretty good at that. We make judgments based on what we see, what we hear, yet we don't always have all the info. And a little more harshly, perhaps, is to ask ourselves, how are we self-absorbed rather than self-giving? Perhaps we're more concerned about what that person could do for us than we are what we might do for them. And we're reminded how much Jesus loves us and our own shortcomings. And so the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we love like Jesus? How can we do that instead of loving as our natural, sinful selves? Well, this morning I want to offer four principles, and again, in the coming weeks, we'll look more about, look at how Jesus loved people and how we can put those things into practice. So if we want to love like Jesus, the first requirement is a relationship with Him. We need Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith We need the power of His Spirit working in our inner being if we're going to love like Him. To be like Jesus, we must have His Spirit within us. Because apart from Christ and His Spirit working in us, we can only love to the best of our ability. Now, I know me personally, I know that I fall short in loving people to the best of my ability. And I know that I fall short in loving people, even with people that I really like, even people that I enjoy being around. I still at times have a hard time loving them. And it's even easier for me to not love my enemies. And I know, admittedly, I can be easily annoyed by people. And I can have a hard time loving them. I also know that if I compare my ability to love others, and I compare that to Jesus, who sets the bar for loving people, I know that I fail miserably. I fall miserably short of Jesus' bar that He has set. And as a fellow struggler in loving people, I'm fairly confident that you felt the same way. But as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we will grow in loving others. In fact, that's one way we can measure our maturity and how we're growing in our relationship with Christ is our love for other people. As we know Christ, as we seek to become like Him, we're going to love people better. We need that relationship with Him. Without that, we will try to love people as best we can, but we're going to come up short. So we need that relationship. Secondly, after that relationship, then we need to know how, in fact, Jesus loved people. How did He deal with them? How did He interact with them? Let's go to this morning in John chapter 13 and verse 34. We'll jump around in Scripture this morning. You can follow along in your Bible. It'll be up on the screen as well. But in John 13, 34, Jesus tells His disciples, He says, "A new command I give you, love one another." But then Jesus says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Jesus doesn't just say love one another. He goes on and says, "Love each other as I have loved you." Jesus' command to them to love each other is not "do as I say," but "do as I do, as I have done, as I have showed you, as I have loved you myself." Now think about that group of disciples, those 12 men that Jesus called to follow Him. Those disciples tangibly experienced Jesus' love for them. You know, they got the inside scoop. They were the inside experience of being with Jesus. They had private moments with Jesus that no one else in the world was privileged to. And loving these 12 men was no walk in the park for Jesus. These men were not the cream of the crop. In fact, we wonder sometimes why He chose these particular men. We know that Peter and John, they were viewed by the religious leaders as uneducated and ordinary men. Nothing special about them. But Jesus had chosen them to follow Him. Other rabbis and leaders may have rejected those guys, but Jesus chose them. We know that Jesus had to rebuke James and John because they wanted to be deputies number one and number two when Jesus came to power. Jesus had to rebuke Peter, even calling him Satan at one point. When Peter pulled Jesus aside to rebuke him, telling Jesus that He would not be killed or raised to life. Now, can you imagine what Jesus is thinking when Peter pulls Him aside and rebukes Him after something He's just said? Now, I know that Jesus committed no sin, not even in thought. But I don't think in that moment that I would have passed the test. I think I would have had a bad thought about Peter or wanted to say something to him. So we see Jesus loving the disciples. And then even further, we see that Jesus even loved Judas, the one who would hand him over to the authorities to be crucified. This wasn't necessarily an easy group of people to love, but Jesus loved them. And he said to them, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This ragtag group of 12 men, they also had front row seats to Jesus's interaction with the crowds and even individuals. And they were able to see how Jesus interacted with people, those that liked Jesus and those that didn't like Jesus. The New Testament Gospels are filled with accounts of Jesus' interactions with the crowds and individuals. And this morning we'll look at just a couple quick examples, two of them. One example, just in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus is going around, he's teaching and proclaiming the good news and even healing people. And Matthew writes in chapter 9, verse 36, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, usually when I see crowds, I don't have compassion. I see people as obstacles. Now, when I'm sitting in traffic or I'm at the airport, I see people blocking me from my destination, where I need to be. When I go into a crowded store, I see the people as slowing me down, getting in my way. I can't get out of there fast enough because of these other people. And so we see Jesus in the crowd as having compassion on them. Another instance is in Luke chapter 18. There Jesus is having a conversation with what we know as the rich young ruler. And he says, I've done all these things, and you know, I should be good. And Jesus says, one more thing, sell everything you own. And in Luke 18, verse 24, Luke records this, and then the words of Jesus. After the rich young ruler has become sad at the prospect of selling off all of his wealth, verse 24 says, Jesus looked at him. You can just imagine here an intent look at this man. And he says to him, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. But he looks at him. He pays attention to him and sees that he's become now sad because of this notion of selling off everything he owns. And then Jesus speaks to him. Now, I know that oftentimes when I'm conversing with other people, sometimes my mind is so focused on my own agenda or what I'm going to say in response to perhaps prove myself or show that I'm right, that sometimes I'm not even listening to the other person. I don't even hear what they say. Perhaps you've done that as well. You're so ready to make your point that they say something and it doesn't even register in your mind because you're so focused on what you're going to say next that you're not even listening. If I had interacted with this man, would I have even noticed the sadness on his face? Would I have been looking at him? Or would I have just been ready to pounce on him? But Jesus, when he sees the crowds, he has compassion. When he sees individuals, he has compassion on them. And so it's going to be important for us to know how Jesus loved people. So we need that relationship with Jesus. We need to know how he loved people. And then thirdly, we need to follow Jesus' principles and his example. It's not enough just to know how he loved people, but then it's to put it into practice and do what he has done. We see that Jesus is both the teacher and the model. He is the example to follow. Now, my bet is that if you take following Jesus seriously, you have a desire to love people better, to love like Jesus. Again, if we're trying to become like Jesus, we're going to have to love people better. And if we take that seriously, we're going to recognize that we fall short. And we need to love and put these principles and his example into practice. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'll bet that you would love to experience the love of Jesus in your life. We all need that relationship with Jesus to be loved by the Creator, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus. Every one of us has a desire to be loved, and we were created to be loved and also to love others. And who doesn't want a better relationship with people? A better relationship with their spouse? A better relationship with their children or their parents? Family members, friends, and neighbors? You see, the genuine love comes from Christ. Again, when we are overwhelmed by the love of Christ, and then it overflows out of us to others. The reality is that our actions and our words not only have an immediate impact on people around us, but they can also have a generational impact. Just think about the power of words. One single statement, whether one said in love or one said in anger, can change the course of a person's life and affect everyone around that person. Words are powerful, and they can change the course of one's life, sometimes in very good ways and sometimes in very negative ways. And so we need to realize that the stakes are high, and so we need to get loving like Jesus right. We need to do our part. We need to become better in loving others. This past week, having officiated Alma Davis's funeral, I was reminded of the legacy that each one of us leaves to those around us. Do people feel that we love them and care for them, or do they feel something different? In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul there is describing what the new transformed life of believers looks like, what it looks like to have life in Christ. And towards the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, he writes these things. He says, starting in chapter 4, verse 32, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Paul says in the new life of following Jesus, the new life that he has given us, we're going to be marked by kindness. We'll be marked by compassion. And we'll be marked by forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God has forgiven us. Again, we remember that other people can be difficult to love, but so can we. And Christ has loved us. He has forgiven us. He has shown us kindness and compassion, and we're called to show that to other people. Paul continues in chapter 5, verse 1. It keeps going there. Follow God's example. More literally, that word is imitate God. Do what He does. It says, therefore, as dearly loved children. Right? We think of a loving parent who passes on that responsibility of loving others to her child. God has loved us. He has taught us to do that. And now we need to practice that. Verse 2 continues. Paul writes, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. To walk in the way of love. And that is to walk in the way of Jesus, who loved people, who had compassion and kindness, forgiveness. That's what we're called to do as well. We're called to walk in the way of love, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And again, we're reminded that Christ loved us. He gave himself up for us. That's the love that he has shown us. Now, while we can follow Jesus' principles and his example, we also remember that he is the source by which we do these things. He teaches us, he gives us the example, but he is also the source, the power in which we're able to love other people. Again, through our relationship, seeing how he loved people, and then putting that into to practice. Christ dwelling in our hearts through His Spirit, that relationship with Him is crucial, because loving people in our own power will ultimately come up short. We don't have the ability to love people like Jesus on our own. We need His help. We need Jesus' habits to define our relationships, to walk in the way of love. Because loving like Jesus transcends our sinful nature, and it puts us in line with how God intended us to live, to love other people. In fact, we see that loving like Jesus is the best way to live. That is the best way to live, is to love like Jesus, to follow His example, and to love as He has loved us. So we need the relationship. We need to see how He loved people, follow His principles, follow His example. And then finally, number four, is we need to look for God's activity around us and join Him in loving people. Again, it's putting it into practice. My guess is that each of us, we don't have to look very far to find in our worlds where we can inject kindness and infuse compassion and forgiveness and love into people's lives. I can guarantee you there are people around you that you know, that you interact with, that need kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and love. Because we all need it. And so we need to find how God is working in the lives of others around us and join Him in loving people. God is love. He loves us. He sent His Son for us. And He's called us to do the same. Now, as we do that, we need to remember that each of our opportunities to love others will be somewhat unique. You know, and the people that have placed God's place in my life are going to be different than in your life. Now, there might be some overlap, but there's going to be different people. At work, in your neighborhood, at school, wherever you are, you're going to come across different people. And so God's going to call you to love them in perhaps unique ways, different ways than He may call me to love other people. We think about, in John chapter 21, we see an example of this, just different opportunities, different callings in our lives. Jesus is restoring Peter following his betrayal, which is an act of love. Jesus reinstates Peter after he has failed miserably. And as they're having this conversation, John, the other disciple, is following the two of them as they walk, and Peter looks and asks about Jesus' call on John's life. We see in John 21, they're walking, and it says, verse 21, Peter saw him, that's John, the other disciple. He asked, you know, Lord, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Verse 22, Jesus answers, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Jesus has just told Peter that he's one day is going to go to a place that he doesn't want to go, which will be his death. And Jesus says, if I want the other guy to stay alive, then, you know, that's not your business, really. He says, but you, Peter, must follow me. Follow me in the calling that I have given you. And so Jesus is telling Peter to keep watch of himself. And Jesus says, I'll worry about the other guys. You just worry about what you're doing, Peter. And so in each of our circles of influence, Jesus is going to call us to love different people in different ways. But we need to be open to that. We need to be looking for God's activity around us, see how He is loving people, how He is calling people to Himself, and then to love them like Jesus does. And so in summary this morning, we find that loving like Jesus requires a relationship with Him. And we must know how Jesus loved people. We need to look at the Scriptures and see how Jesus loves people. We then follow His principles and His example, and as we see God working around us, we want to join Him in loving people. And we see that to love like Jesus is the best way to live. And if you're a follower of Jesus, He is calling you to love people well, to love people like He loves them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love that You have shown us. We sang some of that this morning about your great love for us, how great you are, not sparing your son, but sending him to die on the cross for our sins. Father, we just thank you for your love. May we be immersed and caught up, overwhelmed by your love for us. Father, we also know that since you have loved us, you have called us to love others as Jesus did. You have called us to walk in the way of love, in the way of Jesus, to follow his example. And I pray that each one of us would seek to walk in the way of love, to follow after Jesus, to through our relationship with him, that we would know his love for us, and then we would share that love with others. That as we look in the Gospels and see how Jesus loved people, that we would do the same. That we'd put those principles into practice. And Father, as we see you working in the lives of people around us, would you show us how you want us to love them? And then give us the power and the strength to do so. To love like Jesus. As we see that is the best way to live. So Father, would you strengthen us? As Christ dwells in our hearts and his Spirit works in us, help us to love others and to love others well. As you, Father, have loved us, especially through your Son. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his sacrifice. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.